Yo, what up, Dub Nation? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Chris Chin here. A happy host because the Warriors have an impressive comeback victory last night. No Steph Curry, no D'Anthony Melton, no Andrew Wiggins, but a new version of the Splash Bros. I guess it's not trademarked. New version of the Splash Bros comes out and saves the day for the Warriors. A very impressive win in the jaws of adversity. Warriors, once trailing by 20, flip it around by 38 points to win by 18. Dubs hit 21 threes on 46% shooting, only commit 7 turnovers, forced the Pelicans into 22 turnovers of their own. Warriors dropped 77 points in the second half. Unbelievable considering it looked like the offense was stuck in the mud without our leader, Steph, without any bit of a number one, two, or three score, couldn't generate anything, and couldn't get good looks, couldn't get to the hoop, couldn't get any spacing, and yet they dropped 77 points in the second half, 124 for the game. This game was won on three-point shooting and high level defensive effort. Two game balls in this one, very obvious where they're going. First, Buddy Hield catches fire. And that's saying a lot, considering the likes of a Steph Curry flurry and a Klay Thompson, just absolute barrage. Buddy Hield got as hot as we see in Chase Center. 28 points with 25 of those coming in the second half. He had 7 threes in the game, 6 of 6 in the second half on threes, 19 points in the fourth quarter. Probably would have had more, but we were able to sit our players down the stretch because we were just kicking butt and up by 18 at that point. Buddy Hield, man, the recipe in all three Warriors wins this season has been Buddy catching fire from three. How sustainable is it? 75% of the time sustainable. So far, so good. Yes, Buddy had a cold last game, cold first half of this one. Decided, hey, I need to just start getting some shots up. Obviously, the Warriors spacing, Warriors just found ways to free him up a bit. They can remember the Titans. You know, you say it works. It's like Novocaine. You just got to give it time. Warriors' new system of just kind of movement shooting, playing around the three-point perimeter. Didn't work in the half court early in the game, but you just give it a little bit of time. The defense will get a little fatigued from chasing everybody around all game. Defense softens a bit, and you need just a breath of air, and Buddy Hield will knock it down. Again, 7 threes, all of them without a ton of space, all of them nice and clean. I don't even know if he touched the rim on more than one or two of them. Beautiful Buddy Buckets performance in this one. But that was towards the end of the game when the Warriors basically had built a lead before Buddy even got hot. What really propelled the Warriors through this one was Lindy Raging Waters. 21 points, had 3 threes, but every three really just seemed to just open up and spread that defense. Lindy moving off ball, finding ways to be a scorer without even just knocking down threes, really just opened up the entire offense for the Warriors in this one. So good that he ended up starting the second half in place of Buddy Hield, who just didn't have it going in the first. Lindy Waters, much more than just a three-point shooter as well. He was a team-high plus 26 on the night. Things like he had 8 rebounds, career high. I think he tied his career high in rebounds. It just shows the effort level. You know, he's more than just a knockdown shooter. He's a movement shooter. He's coming off ball. He's catching, putting on the deck once, getting it up, finding ways to get himself open for threes, which the Warriors really sorely need. He has a great feel for just the spacing of the offense. He's also just a really active defender on the other side of the ball. You know, that's really where we were worried about Waters. Hey, we know he can shoot. We know he can score. Can he be more than just a one-way player? Showed it last night. Very active defender. Caused a couple turnovers. Had a steal, which led to a very nice, crafty little Euro step finish. He's a good finisher. He had a couple back cuts for layups, including one he just on a nice pass from Jonathan Kuminga. Waters kind of slipped through the lane, just threw it down. Easily, I might add to that. And I'm like, okay, this guy's got a little bit of bounce too. So Lindy Waters, man, that was a performance of all time for you. I Steve Kerr said it great after the game. He said, well, I guess we're going to a 13-man rotation going forward. Lindy Waters must play after this. You know, he's going to play again tonight. We'll see how that takes him. You know, these type of players, we'll see how consistent he can be. But all preseason, we saw it. I've liked everything about Lindy Waters this entire time. And we finally saw him get to do it in a real game, in real situations. And he was real good. So game ball, if I had to give one, it would go to Lindy Waters. But since I've got two, I'll go to Buddy and Lindy. Wow, that performance by the Warriors in general, with, what was it, 21 three-pointers. You see the importance of shooting in the NBA these days. I got all sorts of flack from my friend group, was the last year. You know, I said, I think it's hard to debate that. There's no more skill that's more, no skill that's more important in the NBA these days, especially for role players, than being able to shoot and shoot the three. It just gives you spacing. You know, if you can just stand in the corner and shoot threes, you already provide value just on one side of the ball. Obviously, defense is important and ball handling and this and that. But as a role player, if I'm in the gym working on one thing all summer long, it is my three-point shooting. And you saw in this one, guys' careers change when their shot improves, right? Guys like a Lindy Waters right here. You see even out of a lot of bigs, he's like a Brook Lopez who was only Brook Lopez until he started knocking down threes. There's a lot of guys that, you know, that three-point leads to a lot more than just being a shooter. You find your way on the floor as a shooter. Now you're getting a chance to show that you can bring some defensive intensity. You can bring some rebounding. Those are just effort things. Defense and rebounding, I'm not going to say they're inherent to everybody, but you can put forth the effort. You see Buddy Hield, you know, not known as a defensive player at all. He's been great on defense this year, and it's just effort. You know, you have to be focused. You have to want to play good defense. You have to want to rebound. You put a little effort on that side of the ball. You can shoot threes. Now you're a two-way role player in the NBA making, you know, what is that? Eight figures. You're making $10 million a year at the least, mid-level exception. Guys like D'Anthony Melton, right? Like, he's a great defender. If he couldn't knock down that three, how valuable would he really be? He might just be Gary Payton II. No offense. But that's the difference between those two, right? Melton can knock down the three. On the flip side, you know, if you can't shoot a three, it can really hinder your growth as a player. We're seeing it with Jonathan Kuminga, who actually had a good game. We'll talk a little bit more about him later. But, you know, the Kuminga breakout is based on a lot of things, but none more important than him being able to knock down open shots, stretch a defense. And you just have that feeling that if he can start knocking down threes, it's going to open up everything else for himself on offense, but then also everyone else. Kuminga starts making threes. He starts scoring 20 points a game. He might be a little bit more motivated and energetic on all other sides of the ball. He's into the game now. He's feeling good. You know how it is, right? You guys are all three-point shooters. You knock down a three, then that leads to a layup. Now you're playing some hard defense, and you're him, right? You're making plays. You see guys like that can't have never really evolved that three-point shot who are great players, like a Russell Westbrook, but the league changed where you have to be able to shoot. And there's an NBA scout saying just the other day that Russell Westbrook should retire. Ben Simmons, same thing, right? Does everything well. Defensive player of the year candidate, triple-double threat other than maybe points. Can't shoot, can't provide spacing. I mean, I know he's been hurt, but you know how valuable is Ben Simmons at this point? So if you can't shoot the three in the NBA, you better be darn good at everything else or provide one or two really, really elite traits in the NBA. And circling back to last night, you know, it's amazing what shot making can do for you in the NBA. The Warriors ball movement didn't get them anywhere in the first half or in the first quarter. Couldn't get anything open. 3-point line gets swallowed up because of it. Once Lindy Waters, once Moses Moody knocked down a few threes in that early second quarter, now the floor starts to open up. You're getting some back cuts. You're getting lanes to drive to the hoop, and you're getting to the line. Everything just changes once you open up and make a couple threes. Defense starts getting discouraged. Defense gets tired chasing guys running off the three-point line. You saw it later in the game when, you know, once Buddy Hield caught fire from three, everything else opens. Now you're getting Moses Moody backdoor layups. You're just getting Lindy Waters dunks. Everything opens when you make the three in the NBA. And That's what the Warriors are built on this year. They are built on three-point shooting and high-effort defense. You saw it in the first quarter, guys. Warriors, their defense was solid, but Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, it's knocking down tough shots. And that actually continued all game. But you saw what happens when, you know, the Warriors can't score. You're going to fall in an early hole. Defense can kind of keep you in it, but the Warriors got down by 20. And then rather than laying down, quitting, saying, well, we have another game tomorrow. We don't have Steph. We don't have Wiggins. Let's just kind of pack it in, save some energy, and go, you know, let's give it another shot tomorrow. No, that's not how this Warrior strength and numbers DNA works this year. That's not the culture. The Dubs decided to pick it up. They picked up the tempo. They decided to play with force. You hear me say that a lot last year. It was just something that Steve Kerr and Draymond Green and Steph Curry, you know, you hear it over and over. We need to play with more force, especially on that defensive side. And that's really just, can you bring effort? Can you bring physicality? Can you know, lay it all on the line for loose balls? Can you just win in the margins with effort? Warriors, when they were doing well last year, they played with force. Then they kind of ran out of gas. I don't see that being as big a problem this year because of the depth we have. So because of the depth, let's play with some force. And then once we get turnovers, once we're getting deflections, we're getting out and we're running. We can't get clean looks in the half court. It was struggling, but you get out and run. Reggie Miller was talking about it. Warriors get out and transition, and all of a sudden, you're getting mismatches when the defense is kind of scrambling back. You're getting open lanes when that defense isn't set. That's when the Warriors can really take advantage of getting better looks and open spacing. And that's what got the Warriors back in this game. You know, Gary Payton, the second, Pajemski, you know, they're just ball hawks all the time, but particularly in that second quarter. I don't know how many points we had off turnovers, but we had at least 8 or 10 points, just turnover steals, just, you know, trapping McCollum at the top, trap the Pelicans into 22 turnovers on 15 steals. And we can look at, hey, the Pelicans, I know that they're lacking some of their guards and ball handlers. DeJounte Murray, broken wrist. I forget what Trey Murphy's out with, one of their best shooters and guards as well. But they still have CJ McCollum, who I believe has been an all-star. You know, McCollum, 2 of 8 in this one, only 5 points. Gary Payton only played 8 minutes, but in those minutes, he locked up McCollum. Even without De'Anthony Melton, who would usually probably draw that CJ assignment, he wasn't here. Wiggins wasn't here, and the Warriors had no problem with McCollum. I expect McCollum to be a little bit better tonight, but maybe not. He didn't get anything easy. He didn't get into the lane. We had no problem point of attack defense at all. Didn't get broken down. Looked great on that, on the perimeter defense. And if you look at, I mean, I know the Pelicans shot over 50% from the field, but it was just two guys and they were tough, man. It was Zion shooting, you know, reverse pivot, off balance shots. You know, yes, he get fouled a lot, but he's making some very tough shots. And before this game, you know, he'd been ice cold from the field during the season. Brandon Ingram, yeah, I know he's just knocked down from that mid-range, especially by the free throw line. But they were all contested. They were not easy. They were a late shot clock. You know, I will live with you taking 18-foot off-balance contested two-point shots and Zion, you know, doing his best. But, you know, that's not sustainable. That's not sustainable offense. They did not shoot well from three. They didn't get many open threes except for what the Warriors chose to give bad shooters. The defense really was the difference in this one. Even Draymond Green, I know Zion kind of did his thing against Draymond and would have done his thing against pretty much anybody in the league. But Draymond did well enough against Zion. You know, he made it tough on him. He got some stops. He drew a charge or two. Draymond did enough to make Zion work. We knew Zion wouldn't play more than 30 minutes in this one at most, especially if there's a back-to-back, which we'll see how much he plays tonight. But yeah, Draymond, very good job making Zion work for his points. What was effective even later in the game that Kerr went to, just maybe it was just to get Draymond off of being the primary defender on Zion with 4 fouls. But he put Kyle Anderson in there, who had a really rough offensive night, but provided value, just kind of picking up Zion, put a little pressure on him, kind of more by the perimeter, along that baseline. And then you have Draymond just helping out in behind him. And that's when they finally started to slow Zion down towards the end. So I expect to see a little bit more of that, especially to protect Draymond if he gets into any foul trouble. So tip of the hat to the defense in this one. The Warriors through four games, second best points allowed, 102 on average per game, trailing only, I think it's the Celtics or the Thunder. I'm confused because the Warriors also have the second most points scored in the league per game at 123, second only, I believe that's to Boston. So defense must have been allowed to the Thunder at second. And the Warriors at 21.3 points a margin per game, best in the NBA, obviously due to a few blowouts. But after trailing by 20 in this one, you thought that would be in jeopardy. Strength in numbers. You're going to hear strength in numbers all year long because it works and it could be sustainable. Sure, at some point we might need to consolidate and, you know, really shorten the bench a bit and upgrade to a better player or two in the starting lineup. But for now, you know, this is a good regular season recipe to win a bunch of games. We'll figure things out as the season kind of progresses. But we had five guys over 17 points. You know, Buddy and Lindy both in the 20s. Then you have Pajemski, Moody, Kuminga, all 19, 17, and 17 points, respectively. Pajemski really stepped up in this one. Without Steph Curry, we're wondering, oh, we knew Pods would be the primary ball handler, but we were wondering, you know, can you be that lead guy when you are the only true guard ball handler on the team? 19 points, had three three-pointers, shot looked a little bit better. He said after the game that him and Buddy Hield were out 11 o'clock last night, or sorry, two nights ago, getting some shots up. That extra work pays off, and that's why we love Pajemski, because we have no doubt he's going to do the work that is required of him to be great. Great activity getting into the lane, right? Kept keeping his dribble alive, staying under control, just getting the spots on the floor, whether they do anything or not. It gets the defense kind of rotating, moving, leads to, no, that's playmaking in itself. It doesn't always have to be a direct assist. It just kind of gets the defense moving and just kind of creates different angles. Great job with that. He had five assists in this one. Perfect. Love it. Best stat I heard from him. Zero turnovers. Yeah. Pods, great decision making in this one. Love that he took care of the ball and was a scorer and was a playmaker and did a great job on defense as well. He drew the McCollum assignment plenty and held up strong. He answered the big question, if we can win and be a successful offense and then some as a primary ball handler. Moses Moody in this one, 17 points. He had five threes, although a couple were in garbage time, but he had a big third quarter, found ways to score, just, you know, on a team without Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins. Someone had to step up. Moody started in this one. Not going to get too much into the starting lineup construction other than to say I liked that we went with Moody at that three spot instead of Kuminga. Just this lineup needed more spacing with Steph out, with Wiggins out, and the big front court. So I liked Steve Kerr starting Moody. I think we're going to see more of the same in this one. Started Pajemski, Buddy Hield, Moody, Draymond, and TJD. I think we'll see the same one in this one unless you see Lindy Waters in that starting lineup, which no one would be upset about. And then, yeah, Kuminga coming off the bench. I don't know if he loved it, but he's a better player, I think, when he comes off the bench because he can play a longer, just one chunk of, you know, 10, 12, 15 minutes in a row. It takes him a while to get into the game and kind of find his footing, find his rhythm. He's been ineffective as a starter, and that goes for, you know, dating back to last year. When he comes off the bench, you're not seeing, obviously, you know, starter-level defenders on the other side, but he can come in as a four. You play him with one big. He can play at the four where he's probably his more natural offensive position. And then he can be aggressive. You know, you don't, when you're coming off the bench, usually that means you're, you know, Steph Curry or Wiggins or whoever else is not on the floor. So now he is the number one or two scorer, can be aggressive within reason. You saw glimpses of what he could be in, you know, just a little 2 minute span where, you know, he attacks, patient attack, little hesitation move, gets a layup. Other side gets a block, great block. His defense, very, very good in this one. He had two steals and that block, and he had zero fouls. That's the best stat of the night. But he had that block, gets out in transition, comes to a good control jump stop around the elbow. At first, looks like he's going to kick it out. I forget to who for a three. Finds a backdoor lob to TJD. He could have thrown up the the goggles for a great court vision there. But I love that he's seen the court. It seemed like the game really slowed down for him in that moment. And then just a possession or two later, knocks down an open three. So he was aggressive in this one. Sure, he took some tough ones, and it always looks rough and unpolished when he misses and you question his decision making. But if they're going in half the time, it's effective enough. So Kuminga, I'd say your best game of the season so far. I know you're probably going to want to start, but you know what? Let's just kind of let you settle into the season here and give me another one of these games, show some consistency, and let the game kind of come to you. All right. Well, that was a fun one, guys. We run it right back again tonight. Hopefully we can just kind of keep the momentum rolling from the last three quarters. At first, I was like, wow, the Pelicans are lucky. You get to miss Steph Curry twice in a row. And I think we play them again next week, and we'll see if Steph's back for that. So I thought they were getting lucky here, but after the way the game finished last night, they are very unlucky to have to play more of that same force, more of that same tenacious defense, and a bunch of hot shooters heading right back again tonight. And, you know, the Warriors are built for back-to-backs with their depth. So we'll see. And we might even get Andrew Wiggins back tonight. We'll see. It was kind of more precautionary with that low back. So hopefully Wiggins is back. Herb Jones might be out for the Pelicans with that shoulder injury. Didn't look good. Left early in this one. I doubt he comes back tomorrow. So that's probably one of the best defenders in the league. Our three-point shooting may cool down a little bit. Just it's been scorching hot. But so will Zion and Ingram. Their shot making was out of this world last night. If the defense still forces them into those same shots, I expect them to shoot a much lower percentage. The biggest question I'm hoping to answer, which was answered last night, is can we keep McCollum contained? Right, keep him just working for any looks. Just keep him out of the lane. Don't let him shoot any open threes and get some momentum going. So, well, let's just get out early. You know, get up by double digits by halftime, and hopefully this Pels team will give up. You know, they're not built for back to back. Zion's conditioning, we already know. Ingram, kind of the same, and they're just thin as well with a lot of missing pieces. So let's put it on them while we have them up against the ropes. All right. Well, I didn't know if I was going to get on today. I almost waited until after the doubleheader, but it was just too darn fun. Had to get on here, guys, share my thoughts. I know you guys are hoping for the same exact result again tonight, so let's do it. Let's keep the strength and numbers run going. Until next time, I've been your host, Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.